Good evening, everyone. I'm Lino Armoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. A quarter of Ebola infections in eastern Congo are going undetected or are found too late. That's according to the World Health Organization. Over 2,000 cases have been recorded in eastern Congo, and more than 1,300 people have died since the epidemic began in August in the DRC's North Kivu and Ituri provinces. But the real total may be worse. About a quarter of Ebola infections estimated to be going undetected or found too late, as I mentioned earlier. That's according to WHO. For more insights on the Ebola epidemic in the DRC, we are joined via phone from Walkersville, Maryland, in the eastern United States, by Dr. Malonga Myatudila. Dr. Myatudila is Senior Public Health Specialist and International Consultant. Dr. Myatudila, welcome to the show.
Thank you for giving me again another opportunity to talk about Ebola.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to have you back on the program. And let me just mention something that I always mention when I have you on, is the fact that you were part of the team who first discovered the Ebola virus in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 1976. So it is such a pleasure to have you and have your expertise on the subject. So we will start our conversation in a moment with Dr. Malonga, but first, VOA's Lisa Schlein has this report.
While the number of Ebola cases has climbed to 2,025, the number of new infections has dropped to 88 in each of the past 2 weeks. This is a lot, but significantly less than the weekly average of 126 in April. The executive director of WHO's Health Emergencies Program, Michael Ryan, says people must be cautious and not read too much into it. On one hand, he says the decrease in transmission of the virus is progress. On the other hand, he says transmission is ongoing and remains high. He says the disease is not yet under control.
Well, at this point, I think the outcome is effort related. Are we prepared to make the immediate, sustained, comprehensive effort to bring this disease under control? And if we are, I believe the timelines can be much shorter than the ones stated. This is a very complex situation, and that if we keep operating at less than perfect efficiency, we may end up being around dealing with this outbreak for a very long time.
Ryan is making no predictions nor comparisons with the historic 2013 Ebola epidemic in West Africa, which lasted 2.5 years and killed more than 11,000 people. He says the 700 health workers in the eastern DRC are dedicated to combating the deadly Ebola virus. He says progress is being made in engaging with communities and overcoming their fears and mistrust. Ryan adds there has been a significant decrease in Ebola cases in Katwa, which was the epicenter of the outbreak just 6 weeks ago. But he says the virus has flared up again in the zones of Butembo and Mabalako. Ryan says people must remain cautious and vigilant and follow procedures to stop the spread of Ebola. These include frequent hand washing, not touching those infected with the virus, and not handling the bodies of those who have died from the disease. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Dr. Malonga, again, thank you for joining us. First off, let me have your reaction on the latest report by the WHO stating that a quarter of Ebola infections are going undetected. What is your reaction to that?
My reaction is that they are trying to do more of the same, and we should not be surprised that they get more of the same. And we have been saying that since last year, July last year.
Mm-hmm. And what do you call more of the same?
More of the same, you remember when we started talking about Ebola?
Yes, last year.
We said that Ebola, this is the 10th epidemic in Ebola, in DRC.
In DRC.
And then we had the first epidemic in West Africa. Okay, so we compare the two epidemics. the two regions. Mm-hmm. In one region, they've been able to control Ebola within 4 to 5 weeks since 1976 using a specific recipe that we tried to get them doing in West Africa. They refused. So they did their own, they went their own way in West Africa, and then they had the results that the WHO have talked, mm-hmm. more than 11,000 people dead. Yeah. So the comparison is very clear. You go this way, you get the result, and now they have decided to go the West African way. So why should we be surprised that they get the same results as in West Africa? We have an epidemic that is going to celebrate its anniversary or birthday, I don't know, but we are going to get that. Mm-hmm. So by not listening looking at the facts, mm-hmm. they are going
okay.
a very bizarre way.
Okay. So, Dr. Miatudila, we're going to break this down. We have time. So, because I really wanted us to understand what you are saying. First of all, when you say they, who is there? You say there. What they are doing seems not to be working.
Now, the people
who is there, the international,
the present epidemic in eastern Kivu are going the way that was taken in West Africa. So nobody should be surprised to have
different results that may not seem successful. And when you say the West African way, what was that way? And it's interesting because this is something that I've always asked anyway. When I spoke to you in the past and also other experts, one of my questions has always been: the DRC has been successful in the past in containing the outbreak. And that question was raised when we had the outbreak in West Africa. And I asked that. I say, okay, what is happening in West Africa that is different from DRC? Because even though DRC has seen some outbreak repeatedly, they've been able to contain it. So let's start with that first step. Okay, what is the West African way that is not working? And then I will ask you what is failing this time around, because when DRC was fighting Ebola in the past, DRC was succeeding, so far. So what is the West African way that is not working?
Okay. You put the people in the driver's seat. So you don't come out of a country or a community, come out and behave like Zorro.
You come there
to help them take care of their problem.
Okay.
So that's the difference. So now what you are seeing is Geneva coming to Eastern DRC and trying to contain Ebola, and putting people, the local people, outside the game and mm-hmm. ask them to help them, to help the Geneva people control the disease instead of going the other way around. Mm-hmm. People from Geneva should go there to assist people in Benin, Butembo, in DRC, in Eastern DRC, Congo, take care of the problem.
Okay.
So that's the difference. And then when you come from outside and you try to solve a problem that people don't have the clear understanding, so you are creating mistrust. Mm. And mistrust is the biggest ally for Ebola. And this is what is going on now. Mistrust. These people, the local people, are going to attack, harm those foreigners who came to not help them, but to take care of a strange disease. And How
That's
can
their
you
perception.
Convince
yeah.
them that the disease was not created by you foreigners? So that is, we are in an environment of mistrust,
okay.
and we cannot expect to get good results.
So what you're saying, if I understand correctly, is the approach may not necessarily be adequate, because even if people are coming with the best intention, if the approach does not suit, if it's not suitable to the local communities, then mistrust starts. That's when they start thinking that, because we've seen this, the community think that the disease is being implemented from people coming in the countries, and this is all different ideas that they have for many different reasons, whether it's legitimate or not, but it has been proven that these reasons that they are creating is really putting out there an atmosphere of mistrust. So when we talk about putting the people in the driver's seat, which you mentioned, and you said that the people in Geneva should come to assist, and I think from my interviews with other people that are involved, whether directly or indirectly with containing the outbreak, the idea with the international community is to come where there is a crisis, the Ebola crisis, and provide assistance and provide help and try their best to contain the outbreak. So how do we put the people in the driver's seat?
Yes, okay. First, you have to be humble. And then second, you have to trust the people, the local people. If you don't do that, you are going the wrong way. Because we physicians, experts, foreign experts, they think that Ebola is a medical problem, so it should be contained using medical tools, medical approach, which is only partly true. Mm-hmm. It's a social problem. So you have to integrate your approach in a holistic view. So how the people see the problem, and then you go and then you try to intervene using the sociology of the area.
Mm-hmm.
If you come with a solution, say that I have the medical solution, I have a vaccine, I have some drugs, and I can build centers where I can go and hijack people in the villages, bring them to the center, and then if they die, I will cremate them so that the virus disappear. You are going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to create. You are going to push people to hide, and the patients are going to be dying in their huts.
Mm-hmm.
So you are not helping the solution. You are actually making the problem worse.
Okay.
So again, mistrust. Mm-hmm. We have to avoid mistrust.
It's a big problem indeed. I mean, that's what you're saying is true, because the lack of trust is really one of the problems. And even WHO mentioned it, and other such as the Red Cross, other organizations also talked about the lack of trust, which is a serious problem in containing this particular outbreak.
You see, I was very sad to hear that a physician from Cameroon was killed in Eastern Africa, in Eastern DRC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sends a message. So the physician was coming from Cameroon to take care of the physician didn't even speak the language of the people.
Mm.
So why did they have to bring somebody from Cameroon, while we have a lot of physicians from DRC and even physicians from the area?
But Dr. Malonga, I mean, something like this, when there is a crisis and the international community is helping, you have to work with people outside of the country, whether it's Cameroon or even Switzerland or anything. I mean, when you have an international approach to solving a problem, it is inevitable. You will have to work with people that are not from the country or from the community. But I do understand your point that it is important to have community, culturally sensitive approach and work with community leaders and things like that. I think that's kind of the point that you're making. However, we cannot prevent the fact that people that are not from the place around the area will come and help as well. I think they're working with local experts, right? Like Professor Muyembe and other doctors are involved in this, aren't they?
It looks like they are not well involved because I heard complaint from Dr. Muyembe. Mm-hmm. It was raising the same issue I'm raising now. So I don't have any problem seeing people from outside come into DRC to help, mm-hmm. especially if it's an international assistance program. Mm-hmm. But these people should not come as a substitute to local people. I will not even agree that people from Kinshasa go to Goma and put people, local people from Goma outside because it's a national crisis. No, I think we have to be, again, sensitive to the social issue.
Okay, and let me just mention that we tried to get the World Health Organization in the program, but unfortunately no one was available to participate now, but we are definitely going to have them and also have the representative from the ground. We mentioned Professor Muyembe, who is one of the professors, one of the experts, along with you, who discovered the virus and is very much involved in the Centers for Disease Control in the DRC. Am I correct? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Uh-huh. And other people that you should also try to contact is the people from the World Bank, because I've been told that the World Bank is investing a lot financial resources into the fight, and I've been trying to get in touch with them to try to even advise them on ways to do, but I have not been successful so far.
Okay, so we hope
because
to...
Because people are complaining in Beni by seeing a lot of cars. Mm-hmm. They think that this is a business. They call it Ebola business.
Really?
So that they think that people are trying to make the disease to enrich themselves.
Oh.
So there are a lot of problems, social complaints, mm-hmm. that we should be dealing with if
okay.
we want to contain the virus.
Okay, Dr. Malonga, we have to take a break and we're going to come back to continue this very, very important discussion. We appreciate your time and your insight on the question and on what's happening in the DRC with regards to the Ebola outbreak. So we will be right back with Dr. Malonga Miatudila to continue the discussion on the latest on the Ebola outbreak in the DRC. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are looking at the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And our guest is Dr. Malonga Miatudila. He is Senior Public Health Specialist and International Consultant. So, Dr. Miatudila, before the break, you talked about mistrust. And mistrust, again, has been mentioned as one of the main problems in containing this particular outbreak. But there is another problem that we cannot ignore. The international community, WHO, even local authorities have talked about the fact that there is insecurity in that particular region in eastern DRC. There are armed militia groups that are making it very difficult for health workers to have access to communities and provide the needed care. So what are your thoughts on that? It's not just about mistrust. It's not just about, some ideas that people are creating. But there's also the reality on the ground, which is insecurity.
Insecurity also is the consequences of mistrust. So actually, this is what is making the problem even worse. In eastern Congo, in north, in that area of Kivu, people don't trust the government of Kinshasa, especially the army, the national army. So because of the reason that we can understand, this region has been under attack from foreign countries, and Kinshasa didn't help. So people organized themselves to organize militias, which is normal. If you cannot count on your national or even provincial government, you are going to take care of yourselves. So most of these militias are local militias for the protection of the villages. So now, if you add to that the mistrust that's coming from other region, you're making the problem worse. That's one. Now, insecurity. When we say insecurity, we mean that people are not going to move freely. So that should help Ebola. That should help contain Ebola, because Ebola needs people to move freely. Now, if there is insecurity, logically, Ebola, the virus, is going to have problems moving around.
So, okay, to come back to the militia group, and you talk about the lack of trust, they do not trust the government. We're not going to get into a political discussion, but the reality is militia groups, create problem. They create insecurities. They create insecurity. And if whether it is justified or not, we've seen the cases of a doctor being killed. We've seen the cases of hospitals being destroyed. So that in itself is a problem. And so how do we address that when, whether they think that they have the right to protect themselves against outside attacks, if they're becoming a problem, what do we do about that?
Now, if you are destroying hospitals, are you making the solution worse? No, because this is my belief that to contain Ebola, you don't need hospitals.
That's a big declaration, Dr. Malonga. I mean, where will people go to get treated? This is your opinion, and I respect it, but at the same time, we live in a world...
That is not an opinion. That's based on facts.
Okay, and what are some of those
Ebola
facts?
Ebola was created, when it started in 1976, Ebola was created in a hospital. Hospital of Hambuku.
Really?
And then it was contained when the hospital was closed. Because what happens? People are going to flee in their villages with the virus. Two things. You get the virus, you die within a week. You survive forever. And the virus cannot go from a village to another village if people are not moving from one village to another. So it might sound paradoxical, but it was by isolating people. You treat Ebola by isolating people.
But where do you isolate them? You need a hospital.
You don't need a hospital. That's what I'm saying.
So what do you need to
leave
isolate
people in their villages, in their localities? What do you call it? You remember in the old days,
yes,
when you had an epidemic on a boat?
Mm-hmm.
You don't take people from the boat to bring them on the land,
okay,
and to hospitalize them.
Okay.
You leave them in the boat for about 40 days.
Okay.
They die or they survive. So that was the technique to control diseases when you don't have the treatment. And so far, we don't have a very good treatment, despite all that we are saying. Because if we had the treatment, if the vaccine was really doing very well, to vaccinate people, you don't need hospital. You take the vaccines into the villages.
Yeah, so we're seeing that there is an experimental treatment that is being used right now, and the medical community has seen it's not 100% guarantee. However, it's also helping in some cases, and everything it's in the experimental phase.
Yes.
So it's all work.
One of
it's,
the reason why
it's work in progress.
We physicians saw that. Now we have a solution. Now we have a medical solution. Let's
yes.
forget about the old solution by isolating people, asking them to take care of them, probe their own problems, and we are coming to help you take care of yourselves. Now that we have a vaccine,
mm-hmm.
we have treatment,
mm-hmm.
we think that we have a medical solution, please come to the hospitals. We are going to treat you. So this is to me, you will say that it's an opinion, but it, to me, that is what I believe.
Yes, and we respect that very much, and we appreciate you being on the program. We also want to talk about the fact that we've seen, you know, with the West African outbreak, with what's happening now in the Democratic Republic of Congo, we've seen a deployment of resources, whether it's medical or infrastructure-wise, trying to build, in the case of West Africa, the hospitals were built, and people had a place to go to seek help. Now, when you talk about isolating patients, if we do not have infrastructure that are appropriate to isolate patients, do we leave them in their homes? Do we leave them in the villages, in the hut, and then have doctors go there to treat them? I mean, how does this work? Do we have one doctor for one person who is sick, whereby people will be able to go to every single person's house where they are isolated and treat them? Or do we bring them at a point where they can have access to those experts? You see what I mean, Dr. Malonga? So in a way, I guess what I'm trying to say is, You are the expert. You say that we don't need hospital, but I believe that we do need infrastructures where people can be accessed, where people
you
can be treated.
Remember the case, the I think that how many cases we had in Texas,
mm-hmm.
with the librarians who came back from home,
mm-hmm.
and they was carrying the virus.
Yes.
Where did we found the cases? At home? Or in the hospitals.
The librarian who...
The librarian was living with his other people in the
his
in
family,
the
yes,
house.
In Texas. And he went to the
house
to the hospital.
You know, people went to see the people were...
Okay.
Living with the sick person.
Yes.
None of them became sick.
Yes, yes. And that
in
was...
In the hospitals, we had two nurses who got sick.
Okay. Dr. Malonga,
what does that tell you?
Yes, I understand your point, and unfortunately,
you know that,
we're out of time. We have to leave it there.
Ebola by shaking somebody's hand.
Yes, yes.
Ebola is not a virus that is contagious like
yes,
flu,
like
flu
or measles. Dr. Malonga, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. That's all the time we have, and we hope to have you back for more on this very important topic. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Lenor Mudu in Washington. Until next time, take care. Bye. Thanks for joining us.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Pell.